Okay, so let's try to finish up Siman Sadi Beis. Just the last couple of points. Well, I don't know. We'll see how long it takes. We discussed in some detail. We discussed ovens, but we didn't discuss microwaves. So microwaves are different than ovens in two important ways. Microwaves don't cook with heat, so that's very important. So that's a major tzad lahakel on a microwave, that there is no heat in the microwave. But there's a tzad lahachmir in that microwaves tend to produce much more zeya than ovens do. Meaning the way that they cook is that they heat up the water molecules and therefore everything fills with steam very, very quickly, especially since it's a much smaller kind of thing. So it's obviously going to be much more likely to be problematic on that level. So there's much more reason also to consider a confined space and to assume that the steam it produces is halachically considered zeya, so because it's smaller. On the other hand, because there's no heat in the microwave and the walls never get hot, it's likely that the steam, by the time it hits any of the walls or the roof of the microwave is below Yatzal Adispo. And we already learned from the Ramah that whenever steam hits something at a point where it's below Yatzal Adispo, you just got to wipe it off and it's perfectly fine and there's not going to be a problem. You can also argue that a microwave is not called Derech Bishel. There's a discussion in Poskim when it comes to Bishel B'Shabbos, whether the microwave is called Bishel when it comes to Bishel Akum, whether the microwave is called Bishel. So as we discussed, one could argue it's not called Derech Bishel according to Rosham Zalman, so maybe there are no Blios when it's not Derech Bishel, though that would be a humongous Chiddush, because Eino Derech Bishel is a halachic concept. Joe's talking to the birds out there. Eino Derech Bishel is a halacha concept. Blios seem to be a mitzius and not a halacha. So that would seem to be a strange tzad lahakel. So in the Sefer Ohel Yaakov, he quotes from Rav Yashiv and from Rav Shlomo Zalman. He writes, Ein b'sefer Shvos Yitzchak Perkeos Gimel b'shem Agon Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv. Dikivan de eina kisoy muchrach le'etzem abishul b'mikrogol, yesh lachos shem yishkach l'chasos, o shem alo yiyah mechuseitev kol zman abishul, v'yiflot zeya. Ve'evi sham shkein da asar Rav Shlomo Zalman zetzal, shlo l'shtamish b'mikrogol l'basar l'chalav b'ze achaze, afilu mechusim, el tzarech l'kva b'oshimush l'basar o l'chalav. V'chein das bal shevet alevi, becomes a base levi. So he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv, Rav Vazner, three g'dolei aposkim in Eretz Yisrael who held that a microwave cannot be used for both milch and fleishik, even if you cover them. It sounds like they made their own gezeira, though, that it's not really a halachic problem if they're covered. It's just because there can't possibly be a halachic problem if they're covered. They made a gezeira because they were worried that you might forget to cover. So that's a little bit strange that achronim in our generation are making their own gezeiros, but they thought it's much, much better to designate your microwave as either meat or dairy and do not heat up the opposite food in it, even if it's fully covered. However, he then quotes in the Sefer Ohel Yaakov, "Amnam yesh poskim shemekilim l'shtamish mikrol basar l'chalav b'ze achaze, b'ofen shechemem mechusa heitev." That as long as you cover one of them pretty well, then that's good enough. Then you can make your microwave a fleishig microwave and just make sure to cover the milchig in the microwave. Even better would be to cover everything. Have two covers. They sell in all the kosher stores. You know, like a red cover that says meat on it and a blue cover usually that says dairy on it. So I have two covers, two plastic covers for the microwave. Now, the thing about a microwave is if you cover something really well, if you make it airtight, what will happen? It'll explode. It blows up. So you can't do that. So the covers that they sell to cover food in a microwave are vented. They have holes on the side in order that air can escape. Does that ruin the point over here? Does that ruin the working of this cover? What would you tell them? Based on what we know about Zaya, what's the concern about Zaya? That I cook flesh again, the Zaya's going to go up, it's going to hit the ceiling, right? While it's still hot. And then what's going to happen? When I cook milk again, the Zaya's going to go up, hit the ceiling while it's still hot.
And then go down below.
And then go back down. If the thing is basically covered and there are just like some escape, you know, vents on the side of the, you know, around the edges on the top, it's hard to imagine that all of that would happen. Meaning, even if Zaya goes up, first of all, probably it's not going to be hot by the time it stops. Second of all, even if Zaya goes up a second time, and it's not going to go back in through those vents, it would have to fall down onto the food, and the food is still basically covered. So, in fact, if you ever use a cover in a microwave and you look inside the cover, it's wet usually because the majority of the zayah just goes straight up. It just needs a little bit of air to be able to escape in order to not blow off. So the majority of the zayah is right there inside the cover. It seems to me that these covers do work. Rav Shechter thought that if you cover food in a microwave, it's perfectly fine to use it for both milchus and fleishigs. Rabbi Sabalevsky always recommends, and so obviously it was better to have two if you can, then you don't have to think about it. But if you have only one microwave, it is workable, but you do need to cover the things in the food in the microwave because it does produce a significant amount of zeah. But d'eved, if you cooked in the microwave and you didn't, you warmed something in the microwave and you didn't cover it, is there room to be mekel? Yeah, there's probably room to be mekel based on the possibility that it didn't produce zeah. The possibility that the zeah wasn't hot when it hit the top of the microwave. So you have a couple of sniffing that you can work with. Okay, that's as far as microwaves. What about salt shakers and spice shakers? Meaning, when you put, if you're making a big pot of chicken soup and you're putting spice in the soup, so there's zeah coming up straight from the soup. so is that going to be a problem? Does the steam enter the spice, and then that which would require you to have separate salt shakers and spice shakers for milchus and fleishigs? So the Badei HaShulchan in Siv Katan Kuf Samachay writes, Nira Shatavlim Shnosim L'Tocha Kadeira B'Shas Bishul Ein L'Hishtamish Bosom Tavlim L'Basar L'Chalav Sharezeya Olu L'Tocham V'Afilu Ein Azeya Yatzol Ledespo B'Kol Zol Sinich Nesas Derech Nikvei Hakli U'Misar Revesim HaTavlim. He understands that the Zeya gets into the little holes in the salt shaker, and even if you hold the salt high up over the steaming food at a point where the steam is no longer yatzoledes bo, yeah, yatzoledes helps in terms of not having blios, but if it gets in there, then it's in there, then you have condensation of milchig in there. I don't care that it's not yatzoledes bo, so even if you hold it high up, it's going to be a problem. So that's what he paskins. They should have separate salt shakers, separate spices for milchig and fleishig. However, in the Ohel Yaakov, he quotes many other poskim who allow you using the same salt shaker. He writes, V'yesh omrim, shelo tzorich lachshol shazeya cham kol kach b'shir shayatzel adesbo, shayi yachal asam shamas yad alitan etavlim b'tavshil. He says, first of all, as far as blios, there are not going to be any blios. Meaning, because it's not going to be yatzel adesbo. How do I know it's not yatzel adesbo? I'll bring you a raya brura that it's not yatzel adesbo. Your yad is on the salt shaker, and apparently it doesn't hurt. So clearly it's not going to be an issue of yatzel adesbo. V'yesh od svar lakel, kivin shebizman shatavlin yotze mehachorim, hachorim stumim, umeli yevshel zeh lichanis betocho. When there's salt coming out, that's filling the holes. So there's not going to be space for zeah to enter in because there are things spilling out of the holes as you're pouring it in. Again, I'm not sure why Yatzel Lizbo makes a difference over here, because the concern is the mamashos of the zeah that goes in, but that second svara works as far as the mamashos is concerned. So when the truth is, if you ever see like a big thing of spice, there are two sides to open it on. One side is little holes, right? And the other side is in case you want to spoon it out. Right, it has like a larger opening. So if you're going to shake in through the larger opening, there's much more concern that zeah is going to get in. You shake in through the little holes, then it's a much less of a concern. So when the spout of the spice bottle is very big and the spices don't fill that entire space, there, and you're pouring it into chicken soup, l'chora, if it's steaming chicken soup, it could become fleishig. If you only use the one with the little holes, so then there's a lot more to be somichan. What about a hot water dispenser? So a lot of times people put hot water in their the coffee mug, you're making one of those tradition soups or something. So again, we said like at the office, the guy in the cubicle next to you or whatever, the office next to you, is using the same hot water dispenser, but he's making a chazer shmalt soup, and you're making a kosher chicken soup. So do you have to be choshesh that there's going to be chazer shmalt on the hot water dispenser? So can you use an urn or a hot water dispenser directly? Or let's say even on Shabbos, you want to put hot water into your chalent. So you're going to take a hot chalent, put it right onto the hot water dispenser, and put out water into the chalent. Is that going to make your urn fleishigs, which would mean you're not going to be able to have your coffee with milk from the hot water in that urn? So does the steam from the chalent make your urn fleishigs? So the Prima Gadim says that if steam from milk touches a hot fleishig pot, even if the steam is not yadsel ledespo, but the pot that it hits is hot, it makes the pot treif, because the steam will be immediately heated by the pot that it's hitting, meaning it's a hot fleishig pot. So there are those that want to suggest that according to the Prima Gadim, even if you hold your chalent very low down, and the steam that reaches the pot is not yadsel ledespo, the urn will still become fleishig, because the urn is cooking water. It's a hot, it's currently hot. I would argue that that's not true with most of our urns. I mean, what kind of urn do you have at home? What kind of hot water urn do you have at home? How does it work? What? You push down, right? One of those pump pots. So they're designed in such a way where you could touch the entire outside of the pot and it doesn't hurt. Meaning they're so, what do you call it? Insulated, yeah. That the heat is not... So to say that that's going to heat up the Zeya, the Metzius doesn't seem to conform to that. The Yad Yehuda and the Aruch HaShulchan, I'll read the Lashon, the Aruch HaShulchan, he writes, V'nei bedin Zeya, Mispar lanu mi mishnah de machshirin de lo shayich zeya ela b'makom hamukaf velo b'makom galui. There's another major tzad lahakel when it comes to a water dispenser, and that is that whatever you're filling in, between your mug and the water dispenser it could go anywhere. It's not in an enclosed area. It's in an open area. And he says the halacha of Zeya is only when it's a makom mukaf, velo b'makom galui, kimo b'kiru shakadera tachtona nesunaba va'aleha omed aliona. That's the case where you have a pot underneath another pot inside a kira. Va'ola zeya saviv saviv she'im la makom latzeis. There's no else, no other place for the Zeya to escape. Aval b'makom galui. And he says, ki b'tanurim shalanu she'ish avir hazeya ola b'avir ve'in osar kadera samachlo. The Zeya will just go up in the air and it's not going to answer a pot that's next to it, let's say. So he says the only when both pots are in a kira, a closed oven, do you assume that there's no room for steam to escape. Only there do you assume that Zeya is a problem. If the steam is a place to escape, even if the pot on top is hot, the pot does not become asur, because the steam will go around. It will only be a mashu that might actually end up near the spout. Is it better after you do with the chalent? If the chalent is mamash steaming, so wipe off the spout. That would be the better thing.
Isn't that what we put in the bath yesterday?
You said that
that
and the Rama disagrees. Yeah, because the Rama spoke about the basar hanging over the... No, I think they're talking about two different things. Meaning the Rama's talking... Well, no, it means he's saying... The truth is, the Aruch HaShulchan is talking about why there's no Zeya problem if you have two pots next to each other in an oven. You have a fleishig pot and a milchig pot next to each other in an oven. Or one after the other in the oven. Because there, it's escaped into the air. But when you have one thing sitting right on top of the other, so it could be that's the case that Ramah was talking about, where something is steaming directly into something else, right? Meaning the direct line. So that's where there's room for a concern.
What?
That Zeya won't apply, right. Right, by Tanurim Shalanu, by our rabbis, only by Akira. So what do you do on Shabbos, when you're pouring water into a chalent? So Rosh Hashanah Zalman is makel as long as you first uncover the pot a little bit away from the urn so that initial burst of steam doesn't hit the urn. Meaning, don't bring the pot covered right to the urn and then, right as it's under the urn, uncover, because then that steam that initially comes out is going to go right into the urn. So he said just uncover it first, bring it to the urn, and then hold it at a little bit of a distance from the urn, and then it's not going to be yatsa ledespo. The urn is hot, it's not really hot. And it's in an open environment, and most of it will evaporate. It might just be a mashahu that hits the spout, and if so, so just wipe it off with a tissue or something. Rav Eliashiv says that lechatchila, better to pour min amecham lekadera shelo be'emtzaus kli acher. Don't use a middle kli. Eliyavi akadera tachas beres amecham v'yarem imenu. Only b'diavad does he say if there's a chashash of blios of tam from the kadera's basar to the hot water urn because of the steam, then you could be mekel to use a secondary kli to transfer water from one to the other. Because what you run into is Hilchos Shabbos question, meaning we're talking Hilchos Kashrus. But you also have Hilchos Shabbos Shaila, because can you take water that was taken from the urn and then pour it into a Kli Rishon, which is the Chalmud pot? So Rav Eliashiv says, better not to get involved in pouring water from a Kli Sheni into a Kli Rishon. Much better to just bring it directly there. So he's willing to take the Kashrus risk rather than the Hilchos Shabbos risk of the two, given those two options. Last topic, kind of the last topic. The Rama at the very end of Siman Sadi Bei Sivches, Rama writes that when your milk pan is under your meat pot in Akira, the fleshik pot is going to be mutter if the pan with milk is covered, because there's no chashash of zeya. And then the Rama explains, just like two pots, one with milk and the other with meat, that are touching each other are mutter, so too, when the milk pan is covered, it's not going to ask or anything. So if you have two, the Rama just says, matter of fact, just like it's obvious, that if you have two pots right next to each other that are touching each other, a fleshik pot and a milk pot, the fleshik pot has fleshik in it, the milk pot has milk in it, and they're cooking, they're hot, and they touch each other, it's no problem. So too, if one pot is producing zeya, but it's covered, so then it's not a problem even though there's a pot on top of it. That's what the Rama writes. Then the Rama says, Miyu l'chadchila yesh lizar b'kolzeh. But you should still be careful. What? Be careful about what? He says, b'kolzeh. What kolzeh? You just said two different things. What does he mean when he says that we should be machmi l'chadchila? So there are two ways of understanding this Rama. There are those that learn the Rama that when he says l'chadchila yesh lizar b'kolzeh, he's talking about both putting a covered dairy pan in a kira and two pots touching each other when one is milchik, one is fleshik. Therefore, it would be possible, according to the Rama, if l'chadchila yesh lizar b'kolzeh, that l'chadchila you shouldn't have a clean surface of a dairy pot touching a clean surface of a meat pot. It could be the Rama would tell you that l'chadchila you should not put a hot pot of chicken soup on a milchik counter. Why? Because a milchik counter might have a din of a milchik pot. It's a surface that has been boleya milchiks. So you're going to take, you'll tell me, but the chicken soup pot is clean on the bottom. There's no medium through which to transfer time. You're right. And it's not going to trafe it up. But Rama says mi l'chadchila yesh lizar b'kolzeh, and therefore you're not allowed to put a. According to if you read the Rama that way, you're not allowed to put a clean a chicken soup pot that's hot, even though the bottom surface is clean. You're not allowed to put it on a milchik counter. However, Rav Moshe in Yerdeya Chela Gimel, I think it is. Rav Moshe, defending an earlier tshuva he wrote about using the same oven for both milchik and fleshik, where he asserted it on account of zeya, but he said that the blios of the racks aren't going to be a problem because it would be like two pots touching each other, which is mutar l'chadchila, right? I mean, Rav Moshe said, I'm not worried about the racks in the oven. I'm worried about the zeya. Why is he not worried about the racks? The racks are clean, so even if the racks are fleshik, you put a milchik pot on the fleshik rack, and the milchik pot is clean. It's a kli touching another kli. That's perfectly fine. But Rav Moshe writes, what about the Rama l'chadchila yesh lizar b'kolzeh? He was only referring to a covered milchik pan in the kira, together with the fleshik pot. Ve'inu mefurah shayesh lizar koi gamashtei kederu shenagu zeb zebet stadin el rakal zelamayla v'zeb machvas mechusa v'unachal nadina. He says the Rama said two things. Remember, one thing the Rama said is covered milchik pan with a fleshik pan right on top of it. So he said that's one halacha, that's mutter. Another halacha, milchik pot, fleshik pot right next to each other, touching each other. Mutter. Then he says, L'chadchila, you should be nizar. Ramesh says, L'chadchila to be nizar is talking about the first case, not the second case. And therefore, putting on the racks of the oven is not a problem. So to have two covered pots, one of milk and one of meat, in the same oven, because word you might remove the cover of one of the pots, thinking that the food hasn't heated up yet, and there's no steam, where in reality the foods were hot and there's some steam. So that maybe you could be choshish for, because that's the case that the Rama says to be nizar about, because he's afraid if you have a covered milk pan in an oven, you might uncover it, and then the steam is going to go straight up. So Rav Moshe comes to the conclusion that you should be machmir with two pots on the fire that are touching each other, because we're worried that they might overflow and mix one with the other. But if there's no chashash that the pots can overflow, then you can put a fleshik pot on a milchig ben yomo countertop if everything is dry. And the reason is because the flavor that's absorbed in the walls of the pot can't leave without liquid. So when two pots touch each other, if the outside of the pots are dry, the milk that's in pot A cannot transfer time to the meat in pot B, nor vice versa. But if the outside of the pots are wet, or if the counter is wet, then you have a medium through which time is able to transfer. This tshuva Rav Moshe wrote was written to Rabbi Olbam. Any Queens boys here?
No,
Rabbi Olbam is the he's a Hasidish Rav. He's a major, major Talmud Chacham in Queens, and he wrote a sefer called, I actually forgot, Shalos Tshuvos. No, is it called? I forgot. I have it at home. He wrote Tshuva Sfarim. So anyway, so this Rav Moshe wrote this Tshuva to Rabbi Olbam, and it's interesting. He writes, I don't really have time to respond to you know, to you right now. He says, especially since my first Tshuva was perfectly clear, and the fact that you're telling me I'm against Ramah, I think you should read the Ramah more carefully. And he said, Rabbi Olbam apparently wrote to Rav Moshe that he's shown it to Kama Rabbanim, Velo Matsumana, and no one was able to answer why, how Rav Moshe called this way. So he says, B'mechilas mikvot Torah Sarav, Me'ar Rabbanim, Shalom Matsumana, Lo Ra'u Shapir of Dud Ramah. B'mechila, you know, you and none of your rabbinic friends read the Ramah correctly. I mean, Rav Moshe generally, in his truth, did not back down. Meaning, when he had a psak, he didn't miss many things. So it's rare that you're going to find something that Rav Moshe missed. It's certainly not a Ramah that, you know, that he's against the Ramah. He said you have to know how to read the Ramah.
He said that there's some liquid on the countertop.
Yeah, then it can serve as a medium to transmit.
If it's hot,
liquid that's coming
on.
Oh, meaning because it's even to Rishon, so it would still be yourself because they clean
the
issue.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. It's flat on the countertop, but it's just water that's, you know, doesn't really get in between. I don't think so. There are those that suggest that when it comes to like oven mitts or towels that may have had spills on it, that that is a din of a pot that has blios in it. So it would therefore turn out that if you have milchig oven mitts and you're taking out a fleshig pot, right, that it would be technically mutter. And l'chachili yesh lizar, because according to some, the Rama would be machmir about that. According to Rav Moshe, it would be mutter. You could argue that oven mitts mimanavshach. If there is milk that actually spilled into the oven mitts, then you could argue that's much stronger than a blia. Meaning, even though it's dried up, a blia is, blios and pots are like something that's not even, you know, you can't even access them. It's not, you know, it's a little different than something that's been absorbed into a towel or into a cloth. That which has been absorbed into a towel or into a cloth may be much more of a be'en than just a blia. And if your oven mitts are clean, they've been put in the washing machine, so then there are no blios in them. There's no blios and there's no ba'an in them. They've been, that's a yakasher oven mitts or towels. So according to Rav Moshe, some would suggest that you can put a milchik towel that was used to clean up milk with that spilled on the floor on top of your fleshik soup pot as long as the towel is dry. Because the towel is, they want to view it as if the towel is like a milchik pot, and the flavor can't leave the towel unless there's a liquid medium. But there are those that argue that you shouldn't place the towel in the pot, because when it's absorbed with something, it means that it's actually still there. you could argue something similar if this is what to argue here, but let's say some fleishik soup or some chalent falls onto your plata, onto your hot plate, or you know something overflows and falls onto your grate, and then later you want to put a milchik pot onto your hot plate. So according to our Moshe, if the plata is clean and dry, you can put a milchik pot on it, because it's like two pots that are touching each other, which is mutar l'chachila. But if you learn the Ramah that l'chachila you shouldn't do that, you shouldn't have two hot pots touching each other, then even if the hot plate is clean, it would be a problem. The thing with hot plates is that when something lands on the hot plate, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't get so clean so easily. When it lands on a grate, it usually burns up like right away when the oven is on high or whatever. But when it goes on a hot plate, it's like, you know, especially if it's a larger spill, it could really stay there. So you might end up with having mamashos, which creates a much, much bigger problem. But, you know, people ask this question all the time. They want to warm up some noodles and cheese or something that they had from Thursday night dinner. They want to warm it up for their kids for Shalosh Shudas, you know, on a late summer Shabbos where the kids are going to go to sleep and they have to eat supper before Shabbos is over. So they want to feed their kids at whatever, like 6:30. And they want to warm up something milchigs on the hot plate. So they're allowed to put a milchig pan on a hot plate that's used to heat up chalent and chicken and meat and everything else, the whole Shabbos. So if you say like Ramosha, that as long as it's clean, you're allowed to have a milchig pot and a hot pot touch each other, then it's perfectly permissible. But if you learn the Ramah, miu yesh li zar b'chazal l'chachila, to be saying that even that you're not supposed to l'chachila, then l'chora, you'd have a problem. Okay, that's all I got to say, so yeah.
Are you allowed to heat up meat and dairy on the same hot plate at the same time?
Yeah, why not?
Is that like a dinner of fire?
Well, Moshe says that he thought even l'chadchila, when it's on a fire, you shouldn't. Right? So l'chadchila, better not to.
Does a hot plate have a dinner of fire?
Yeah, I think so. It has coils. Yeah, Joe.
Does the marble have to have a dinner of glass or a metal pot?
It's stone. So
it would. Can stone transfer?
Yeah, we assume it can be balea. You saw the tip, Joe? Yeah, okay.
What's the procedure for kashering a microwave? Either if it's meat and I want to cook milk, I want to cook meat, or, you know, without.
Kashering a microwave?
Yeah.
So the procedure for kashering a microwave is you wait till it hasn't been used in 24 hours, which you can assume when you go into a hotel room it hasn't been used in 24 hours. And you put in a cup of water and you heat it up to the point that it fills the whole thing. You first make sure it's clean, which it usually is because housekeeping cleans it. You then put in a cup of, unless you're like in one of these motels like around here, yeah. Then you put in a cup of water and you heat it up till the whole thing fills with steam. And then you move over the cup of water and do that again so that you can get steam on the spot that the cup was. That's the standard procedure for kashering. Because Zaya, Kabbalah Kach Pelta, the same way Zaya is Balea, so too it's Palate.
When you're covering the microwave, can you use like a paper plate? Because then it like, fully covers the top, but like the sides are often like, a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's fine. Because, as long as like the top is pretty much covered, I think it's okay. Okay, maybe we'll do a little...